Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On our AEW Revolution predictions yesterday, both of us picked Team TBD, to be determined, to win the four-way tag team title match at the pay-per-view, because we thought whoever won this casino tag team battle royal on Dynamite would go on to win the whole thing.
My logic was, I don't think the Guns are retaining. I don't think the Acclaimed are winning them back. And despite, because Tony Khan seems hell-bent on not making any money, he's not going to put the belts on Team TNA. So it has to be Team Number 4.
Money is right there.
It's all there. It's
gold.
Yes, it is. It's his world.
It's a gold scheme right there to invest in.
Put the gold on them.
So we thought it was going to be the TBD slot. There's a rich tradition of mystery surprise opponents winning this bit and then going on to face the pay-per-view.
And technically, this was a surprise entrance.
Yes, I suppose it was. You said best friends. They're already in the storyline mix. I said FTR. They're trolling us all. Really, they are on good terms with AEW because they're about to win the tag team championships. If it's not those two, well, chuck any name in there. Motor City Machine Guns. Any New Japan team, something like that. Instead, the winner of last night's Casino Tag Team Battle Royal was Orange Cassidy and Danhausen.
Technically, of the best friends. So what I said was true from a certain point of view.
Not what I would have done.
Tempest, I got in the office, I was making the thumbnail for the show today. The first thing that Tempest said to me is, what is going on with their tag team division?
I'm Ollie Davis, I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD. Welcome to the Go Home Show for Revolution Review, AEW Dynamite Review, that is. Please, if you haven't already, press the thumbs up button, give us a subscribe, leave a comment down below with your thoughts on the episode, and send in your Omega chats to wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them over $5. And right now, go over to wrestletalk.com/WrestleLeague, I think is the URL, but the link should be in the description below. And you can partake against all of us and over 3,000 other WrestleLeague participants in Revolution Predictions.
Our moderators will be putting it out there. We did our predictions yesterday and a few people I know have signed up for WrestleLeague because you left your comments on yesterday's prediction video to say that you have now signed up. Revolution is now on there. You can get your predictions in. Don't forget to do your Joker as well, which is what we didn't do yesterday on the predictions, was give a Joker out. I was so focused on trying to remember the Limp Bizkit track that I forgot to put on a Joker.
Segue. AEW forgot as well. Because the Casino Battle Royal format really is a stupid idea. It's trying to be the Royal Rumble. But, of course, it doesn't want to copy WWE. Just like how WWE don't want to copy other promotions. You know, how long did we have to wait for War Games to show up on the main roster? Even though it's a fantastic stipulation, Vince McMahon pushed against it forever because it wasn't his idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the Royal Rumble is such a WWE native idea. I can understand why AEW wouldn't want to do their version of the Royal Rumble. Yeah. Although by this point, I think just do it. It's a really great match and people look forward to it every year. Instead, they've tried to come up with their own version. And we lived through this with TNA.
Oh, we sure did.
All the weird, contrived rules messes that bookers come up with to try and break something that doesn't need fixing.
Well, TNA, quite famously, looked at the ladder match and said, what if you climbed the ladder and hung the belt up? A reverse ladder match, if you will. A company that quite famously looked at a battle royal and said, what if the aim was to get in the ring rather than get out?
So difficult to stage.
And speaking of stages, that's just stage one of the match. Stage two is then a traditional battle royal until you get to stage three when it's a one-on-one match. And then that leads to stage four, the ranking for a tournament.
So TNA's version was do it in reverse.
Yeah.
I would say WCW's version was put something else on top of it. Because you'd have like the triple cage match. You'd have, was it the monster truck on top of,
that was on top of the building. Yeah, because then Hogan pushed the giant off the top of the building. Murdered him, but you know, he was the baby face.
Showed up later on, didn't he?
He did. And hugged him.
So that's WCW and TNA's way of doing it. I think AEW's way is clump things together, put a betting spin on it. A casino spin.
Yes.
So when the Casino Battle Royal first debuted, it was clunky. It still is clunky, but it's gotten admittedly less clunky, fewer clunks, and you would come out in batches of five, wouldn't you?
What we found from the first time they did the Casino Battle Royal was that coming out in groups of five means no one gets a pop.
Yes.
Because the crowd are like, who's there? Oh, that guy's there.
No entrance music.
Rather than what you want from like a Royal Rumble is the music hits, you react to the music, as opposed to, who is it?
Mm.
Oh, it's Hangman Adam Page, right? And who else is with him? You know, that sort of thing. So what they then did was like, oh yeah, you're still in suits. There are the four suits and then there's the Joker pick.
So 21 entrants overall.
But you come out individually from the suit. So it's like, and here are the clubs. Penta comes out. Page comes out. Eddie Kingston comes out. So you have the music, you have the pop, you have the reaction.
And then they all come down in one wave.
Yes, they come down in one wave. And then you do a bit of action, some eliminations. Five, four, and then the next suits.
This was the closest we've had so far to the WWE Royal Rumble format.
So I have gone to Wikipedia to check this. There are three different versions of the Casino Battle Royal.
Okay.
So there's the Casino Battle Royal, which is what we were just discussing there. Then there's the Casino Tag Team Royale, which is what we got last night, which is just, in the Casino Tag Team Royale, it is also a Rumbles Rules Battle Royal, but with 10 to 15 teams participating. The order of entrance is based on a lottery. Two tag teams start the match, and every 90 seconds, a new team enters. Individual eliminations occur when a wrestler has gone over the top rope and both feet hit the floor. A team is eliminated when both members of the team have been ruled out of the match. Match ends when one wrestler or team is left. The winning team earns a shot at the AEW Tag Team Championships.
Okay, well, what's the definition of the singles one?
The Casino Battle Royal is a modified Rumble Rules Battle Lottery that features 21 entrants. It begins with a group of five wrestlers. Okay, so every 3 minutes, another group of five wrestlers enters, while the 21st and final entrant enters alone. So you're right, and we got it wrong. We were both right and wrong, I guess, on the predictions video when we said there'll be a Joker entry, because there is a Joker entry in the Casino Battle Royal, but there isn't a Joker entry or the card stuff in the Casino Tag Team Royale. There also isn't in the Casino's Trios Royale, which we had on Rampage, which was won by Top Flight, where you win $300,000.
Well, okay, so if you take away the Joker surprise last entrant, which really was the only good thing that was better than, say, a Rumble one, although a Rumble one, you kind of have those peppered through anyway. I prefer that way of doing it, actually. This was just a pretty weak, sloppy, confusing, repetitive battle royal.
Well, what it is, it's a tag team Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
because there's nothing that actually separates this out. Jeff Jarrett would look at this and be like, this is just the same match, but now they're tag teams.
Yeah, and they've got all, you know, because we had a battle royal last week with all these same teams pretty much.
But that was just a standard battle royal where you all start in the ring at the same time.
Uh-huh. They're too similar. They're too similar to do back-to-back with the same talent.
I think we've also forgot that. I think there's a casino battle royal ladder match. You remember? They also have...
Oh, yeah.
Which is where Brian Cage debuted.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, but that is... Again, that's not based on cards. That is just based on you have an order of entry and then you come down and try and win a ladder match.
Yeah.
Hangman Page won it last year.
Well, in this, we had...
Personal Survival Series.
Dark Order enter first. Wheeler Utah and Claudio Castagnoli jumped them when they came down. Then we have Roosh and Preston Vance. Can't remember. What's his new name?
Preston Vance.
It's still Preston Vance. Lucha Bros, Aussie Open, 2.0, Top Flight.
Kingdom.
The Kingdom. And then we got Danhausen and Orange Cassidy, who were revealed to be replacements for the Best Friends. Orange Cassidy heavily selling his ribs from what was a great opening match, I thought, with Big Bill.
With Big Willie, yeah.
Big Willie style.
Because Best Friends had been attacked on Rampage by the Firm of all people, and the Best Friends were not medically cleared to compete to be in this battle royal. But Danhausen said, well, me and Orange Cassidy are best friends. So that allows us to be in the battle royal in place of the Best Friends.
When you say the Firm attacked them, are you including the Acclaimed? Or is it the Firm and the Acclaimed attacked them?
Oh, the Acclaimed are part of the Firm. You think?
Sorry.
The Ass Boys. The Ass Boys are not part of the Firm. They are just, I believe, associated with the Firm.
Okay.
They are not the Firm's The Guns. AEW World Tag Team Champions, the Firm's The Guns.
Danhausen and Cassidy came out. Weird spot psychologically for a babyface act to be in, even though they'd already wrestled earlier on. I think Cassidy couldn't have done any more of selling his ribs to get that over. And then they eliminated Butcher and the Blade.
Who were the last entrants.
Love Butcher and the Blade, but it's hardly Blackpool Combat Club. It's not even Dark Order.
So they were putting this over hard on commentary as to why it was Butcher and Blade last. Because Butcher and Blade actually have the best track record in all of these Battle Royals. The Butcher holds the most eliminations for Battle Royals in AEW at the moment.
Oh, you can throw the stats you want at me. That doesn't mean I believe that story.
I'm just telling you, it's what commentary were looking to do. Commentary were putting this over hard. Mm-hmm. But when it did come down to Orange Cassidy and Danhausen versus Butcher and Blade, I was like, well, I mean, it was pretty clear when they announced they were going to be in this match that they were going to win, but this very much solidifies that they're winning.
The only way it would be more clear is if four referees came down to hold the base of the ladder.
That was a rickety old ladder, though. I'm glad they were there for the safety of Hobbs.
I know. No offense to any of the teams in this, but they are kayfabe losers based on them, most of them losing last week. The more exciting acts that weren't in last week's match, like Blackpool Combat Club, didn't really get a showing. I thought they were dispatched pretty easily and they didn't last through till the end. Cassidy and Danhausen, I tell you what, that's going to be a really fun comedy four-way pre-show match.
Yes.
But it's actually the top of the tag division right now in AEW. What has happened to this company's division?
You're asking the Tempest question is, what has happened to this? Because they announced for Rampage, I'm just going to quickly double check this. Hold on. Twitter.
Also, as an actual match, I thought it was underwhelming. No, you know, like I couldn't tell you a single spot, like impressive spot.
I talked about this on the Rumble 05 review that we did for WrestleTalk Extra. When I'm making my notes for a Royal Rumble, when we do WrestleTalk Extra over on Patreon, is that you're like, entry number three, blank comes in. And then you have what happens in that space. Then double enter, entry number four, this person. It's an easier way for me to track my notes where things happen and where they don't happen. Here I've just got Yuta and Claudio attack Dark Order as they're making their entrance. LFI in next. Lucha Bros in next. Aussie Open in next. Top Flight in next. At some point, 2.0 were in there. Like, it was just they made their entrances, they got in the ring and just brawled. And then some got eliminated, some didn't. And really, it was only like, I've only got notes here for when the Kingdom come in. Mm. And that's because I thought the Kingdom actually looked quite good. And Vasty Athletes came out and brawled with the Lucha Bros. So what I would say, the only like plus point I could put onto this, because I didn't hate it. I don't think I disliked it as much as you did. I thought it was a totally serviceable. I think most battle royals are quite bad anyway, but this was a totally serviceable battle royal. Really, this should have been on the outside trying to get in. But it did do its job in trying to either continue feuds or start new feuds, which I think is what you want from a Royal Rumble. It's just like, coming out of this, I've got some storylines here that you can tell with other matches. So, you know, you
into any of those stories?
Oh, Vasty Athletes versus the Lucha Bros. It's a perfect use of the Lucha Bros. I don't know what you mean. But like, you know, you'd had stuff there with LFI and you had Top Flight eliminating Aussie Open. So you can do some stuff around that. There was, what was the other one? There was another one where people were eliminating.
Well, Dark Order and Blackpool Combat Club were mixed already. Up, but that's more of a supplementary thing to Mox and Hangman. I don't really see that continuing post-Revolution.
Well, no, because they've got the match on Rampage. Mm. So this is the other point that people were making. They announced a match for Rampage, which is a fatal four-way tag team match between Top Flight, the Dark Order, Blackpool Combat Club and Aussie Open.
Great.
And everyone's comment on that was, that is better than the tag team four-way match that's on the pay-per-view. I would argue, Team TNA is not part of this one. Statistically, it cannot be better than what's on the pay-per-view.
The gold. Can't be. It's not gold.
Yeah, but that is a very, very good four-way that arguably is better than the one that's on the pay-per-view.
And you just look at that. We keep saying, oh, what has happened to AEW's tag division? There's four teams right there.
Yep.
That doesn't include the Lucha Bros.
Or LFI.
Or the Young Bucks or House of Black. You know, these teams that are wrapped up in...
Yeah. Trios.
Trios. Yeah, it's... I thought this was... The more frustrating thing is, I could tell this was going to be not bad, but... Bad booking, fundamentally bad booking, because you did this match last week.
Yes.
You just had a staggered entrance format. You've beaten everyone in here already. And it happens every year. It's terrible. It's bad, fundamentally bad booking.
It's not great, is it?
No, but like, it's not changing because I respect Tony's commitment to tradition most years. This is a bad one.
Yeah.
I can't see how any sane, rational thinking person can have looked at the last 2 weeks of how they've built the pay-per-view and gone, that's good. Plus the Acclaim, like the way to tell the story, the Acclaim are screwed last week. They didn't cash in their automatic rematch clause, which is lazy.
Bad.
And then they last through to the very end here. That's how you tell a story. But we've actually had the Acclaim and the Ass Boys paused for 2 weeks when it needs to be hit in its apex because they've just been brawling amidst loads of other tag teams who mean nothing.
And it just means, so there was a report from Worked who have said that the plan is still...
What is this, Worked?
So Worked, they're the people, they had a report out recently. I think they had all the Trish and Lita stuff, which did get proven to be correct. So they have got... a track record as it currently stands. They apparently put out something recently that said that the plan is still for FTR to win the AEW World Tag Championships from the Ass Boys. And I told that to Tempest and his reaction was like, why isn't that at the pay-per-view then? Like, when is it going to happen? And my first thought was like, well, I guess Double or Nothing. But that just means then we've just got a bit of an extended Ass Boys run where the Ass Boys retain at Revolution and then... I think that the Acclaimed feel like they have been damaged by the Ass Boys' loss. And I don't think that it's been helped by them just being like, we're putting ourselves into a fatal four-way match because we don't want to steal opportunities from two other teams. It's not a great way to tell a story. And these two battle royals are not great ways to tell a story either. I remember the first time they did this in 2020, being like stupefied by the fact that, like, remember they had all of the tag teams and they had like a Tumblr where you got to pick out your entry. And I'm like, we have a ranking system. Yeah. Why are we bothering with this?
And didn't that build FTR Bucks? That we're like, this is such a lame build to what a great match.
Stupid way to get to the Bucks FTR. It was a really bad way to tell a story.
A story that writes itself.
Yeah. And because now we've done away with the ranking system, you can now just be like, ah, it's Cassidy and Danhausen. And it will be fun. I guarantee you that will
be a really fun match.
I guarantee you, come Monday and Tuesday, we will be sitting there being like, that Fatal 4-Way was so much fun. It was a brilliant, brilliant tag team match because the Acclaimed are awesome. Because Orange Cassidy is superb. Danhausen is so much fun. And Team TNA are freaking brilliant at being heels. And then the Ass Boys will also be
the tag team champions.
But like, there are at least three quarters of this. And the Ass Boys aren't terrible. Mm. So they will certainly pull their own and they will certainly, you know, put their shift in. And it will be a really, really fun tag team match. And that's true. But that does not mean that all of this bad storytelling is also not true. Just because the end product was amazing does not undo the bad stuff that came before it.
AEW's problem's never the in-ring stuff.
Absolutely not.
It's the stories.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's see what you guys think. Put them in the comments and, of course, send in your Omega chats to wrestletalk.com/support. Also, go over and make your picks in Wrestle League. wrestletalk.com/WrestleLeague to predict Revolution. Corey H. says, I really like the new tag team division AEW seems to be building. There's some very good comedy tag teams in this new division they're building. Dark Order, Danhausen and OC, the acclaimed Team TNA, Best Friends. Happy to see comedy wrestling featured on TV.
I agree. Actually, I do agree because I like comedy wrestling. Mm-hmm. It's why it's part of the reason why I think the 4-Way is going to be very, very fun come Sunday that we can talk about come Monday. But that is almost like, it feels like half of the division is comedy teams. Mm. And this once upon a time was a company that had like the most stacked tag team division, with like the best tag teams on the planet. Like the thing that kind of winds me up a little bit when I watch back, you know, and I look back to this Battle Royal, is Varsity Athletes feuding with Lucha Bros. When I sort of like, I look at the Lucha Bros, I'm like, That is not the that is not the best use of the Lucha Bros. In the same way that when the Ass Boys were feuding with FTR, that's not the best use of FTR. Always, yeah, looking to get new teams over. But if I'm looking at my crop of tag team wrestlers, I don't think I'm looking at Tony Nese and Arya Daivari and being like, well, that's the next tag team I'm going to push.
Yeah. Charles Berg, not only was Ollie's FTR prediction wrong, it was so wrong, cheers, Charles, that the team who won is the complete opposite type of team to FTR. I, for one, appreciate following your heart. Sometimes you end up being wrong and looking stupid, but you stay true to yourself. Well, I will be changing that prediction on Wrestle League.
So, yeah, because I think now this probably does solidify the guns retained.
Yeah.
Even without that worked report. I suppose my question to you is, and this will probably be one that comes up in the comments down below. It might even come up in the live chat as well. Is your disappointment around this because you had worked yourself into thinking it was FTR?
No. Actually, look, I love FTR, but there's nothing in me right now craving for them to come back. It's more my FTR fascination is what is going on with their very publicly outspoken stuff against the company. If it's a work, that's a bad idea. I don't think after the last, 7 months, I don't think it's a good idea to run fictional stories about people wanting to leave your company when reportedly backstage that's true. And if it is real, oh, that's also bad. Because FTR genuinely do want to leave the company, they'll go back to WWE. So that was I just saw all the stuff unfolding. I thought, well, surely this is a work. They're coming out last. So it wasn't me working myself into a shoot where it's like, which I do often, where I'm like, I think this is the best way to tell this story, so this must happen. But there's no story here for me to get invested in enough.
That is...
To really feel bad that FTR didn't return.
I think they sort of fed... No, actually, no. I'll take that back. I was about to say they told a decent story with Orange Cassidy being injured, but I'm wrong there. They told a story of Orange Cassidy being into the match, but him coming out second to last doesn't really... It doesn't amplify that story because they weren't in there long enough to tell that story.
Yeah.
He just had a rib injury walking down to the ring. I do agree with you. I completely get what you're saying. For me, they're just on a break because AEW have often just wrestlers just go away for a bit and then they come back. And that's just where FTR are at the moment.
Well, so what do you think about all the tweets and
Keith Lee was off TV for, a couple of months because he was just away for a bit.
Yeah, but Keith Lee wasn't publicly saying, this company's a bit rubbish.
Keith Lee and Dax Harwood are very different people. Like, we know very well Dax Harwood is always, but always working either it's wrestling fans or wrestling journalists to try and tell stories to make people talk about him, whether that's to raise their stocks or whatever. This is just what Dax does. Is that accidentally? Did I put a WWE contract in this innocent photo I was taking of my coffee? Oops, what a mistake it's a maker. No, does that on purpose.
Didn't do it in WWE.
Well, yeah, it's because he was bored out of his mind in WWE.
I know, I think it's because WWE, for all their faults, had, they're
stricter with their social media.
They ran a tighter ship.
Yeah, they're much, much stricter with their social media. You know, like, apart from, Randy did that Instagram post where he posed next to The Elite. But that's because he was playing both sides. He was trying to sign with All Elite Wrestling to get a better deal out of WWE. And maybe that's what Dax is going to be doing here, just trying to get a better deal out of AEW and just go with that. And, his most recent podcast was him just talking about, like, that Pinnacle stuff weren't very good. Mm. And here is why it wasn't very good.
It feels to me like Tony's lost control of one of his acts. If he's still...
But Dax is... I think it's what Dax has always done. And actually, do you know what? I'll take that back. Dax was always doing that in WWE as well. He kept saying... He put out that tweet. One day we'll wrestle the Young Bucks and it'll be the best match on the planet. They have always been...
There's always been an undertone, but he has gone into freaking overdrive recently.
If I
was Tony, I'd be like, stop this.
I mean...
Literally, definitely painting the company in a bad light.
I don't think it is.
And though. I think it's I'm starting to think it's reflecting poorly on Dax as well.
I think it might reflect poorly. I don't think it reflects poorly on the company.
Oh, Well, then you run another story about Eddie Kingston saying, oh, I quit AEW. I know it's so we can go to Ring of Honor and tell that story, but it baffles me that, especially with all the MJF stuff and I'm going to leave WWE, why are they still telling stories about their wrestlers wanting to leave the company in this work shoot way when WWE right now is the hotter product?
I think
it doesn't work anymore.
I think you're reading way too much into that. I think you're reading more into that than is actually there. Like, three storylines you've thought of from the last year, I don't think reflects badly on a company that, because WWE is so much hotter right now, I think you are creating this bubble that I don't think really exists.
Three stories in 9 months. I think it was May, wasn't it, with the Double or Nothing Max stuff. And that those are the three, like, kayfabe company sanctioned stories. Because behind the scenes, we've got numerous others. We've got, oh, maybe the Young Bucks negotiating and Kenny. Then we've got the Punk stuff. Then we've got Malakai Black, Andrade, Buddy Matthews.
But those are very different to the three stories that you're talking about there. Three fictional stories of I want to leave. And actually, even then, the Dax Harwood one's not a fictional story. So really, they've done two stories in 9 months where two people have wanted to leave. One of them was MJF, and that's very different because MJF. The other one's Eddie Kingston. And again, that's very different because it's Eddie Kingston. And that's just so he can go across to Ring of Honor.
I think there is a constant on-screen and off-screen narrative.
Because we're in the bubble.
That AEW is no good to work for.
I think you have created a narrative that isn't there.
Sorry, the next person hasn't got their name recorded, but please do comment somewhere and we'll try and give you a shout out in a sec. I didn't realize until I was watching last night's show, but the Acclaimed used their rematch clause to join a multi-team match. Why would former world champions who lost their titles due to a screwy finish not want to have a normal tag rematch? Yeah.
Yeah. It's an excellent point. You could have, I mean, if they were smarter people, they probably would have said, we'll have our one-on-one rematch next week on Dynamite, and then one of us will walk into Revolution, the tag team champions, to go up against two other teams.
Yeah. J.S. Wooten, Memberg for 12 months. TK actually giving his top merch seller and most consistent wrestler a chance to shine is why I love this company. Danhausen and Orange Cassidy being in Ass Boys is nice.
I mean, it's
Danhausen being the top merch seller, though.
Well, unless it's Orange Cassidy, of course.
I think it's Danhausen, isn't it?
Is it really? I mean, he's massively popular on Pro Wrestling Tees. I mean, that would make sense. It's only because Jess Wooden said the most consistent wrestler, and that would make me think that's Cassidy.
Yeah. Maybe he's saying
most consistent. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense then. So, I mean, if you're Tony Khan, that's actually a very smart decision to put them onto the pay-per-view. We were saying yesterday, I wonder how they'll get Cassidy on the show. And this is it.
I'm Just Marcus, finally for now, says, so after that battle royal, am I the only one kind of disappointed by the build to this pay-per-view? It feels a bit messy. Mox versus Page has me excited, as does MJF versus Danielson. However, everything else feels underbooked, or that it's just happening because it can.
So when I think to the card, I agree with you, actually, in the most part of it there, because we've got... I'm going to try and find... Where's the card? Because you've got definitely the main event, and you've got Mox and Paige, which I think are two very, very good stories that have been told. Excellent stories, I would argue. Joe Wardlow has got some substance to it, but I don't think it has been festered enough on TV.
It's not boiling over, is it?
It's not, no, because it wasn't. It was very much boiling over, and then Wardlow disappeared for a while, so it got taken off the boil, and Joe went into arguably a better program with Darby Allin. Jericho Starks, I think, has been hugely bungled. I don't hate the hater Soraya Soho build. I've been one of the few people that's thought, actually, it's all right.
I agree. I think it's one of the better, at least it's a told, focused on women's story.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not is a different thing, but it has been a story that has been consistently told week to week with the stuff that makes sense. Elite and House of Black, we did our piece about this on the Revolution predictions, which is, that is just a case of, that is a match that has been added. And then Cage Jungle Boy has had a story and has had a story that has been on TV. It's just a story that's been slightly hampered because Christian Cage got injured.
The This was a packed show full of loads of angles and matches and segments.
Arguably too packed.
We'll rattle through them because we've already gone quite long. Orange Cassidy versus Big Bill started things up. Great opener.
So much fun.
Orange Cassidy is just like the MVP of the opening of Dynamite this year.
And when you have this match and the storyline they tell to then lead into the main event and their win, I was like, this is why they can be bagging this drum. There's no one in AEW hotter right now than Orange Cassidy. I'm like, oh, that's why we've been beating this drum for a while, because he's going to be in the tag team title match at the pay-per-view.
So good, I thought, this run that Cassidy's had. I prefer the All Atlantic Championship to the TNT title right now.
Yeah, samesies. I don't know. I really enjoyed Joe's run.
Yeah, but where's he been? You know, Cassidy's on TV every... Oh, yeah, it was that this time. So this was a good match. Big Bill, again, he always impresses me when he's out there. He's got a lot of charisma. He's come so far from Big Cass.
From Big Ass.
Big Ass.
booting little people.
He chokeslammed Cassidy through a table. Stokely Hathaway also used his cast on Cassidy.
Really good near fall.
Danhausen came out. Did he hit a curse?
No, he tried to curse, but it didn't quite work.
Ultimately, though, Orange Cassidy, Orange punch to the knee to bring Bill down, and then a super Superman punch from the top rope to win.
I like when you do the little man has to hit their finishing move a handful of times on the much bigger person to put them down. I think it's a really good way to put over your little guy of just being like, look at what they can do, but also the big guy of look how much it took to put them away. Kind of what they did with Bronson Reed in the Elimination Chamber. It took three people's finishes to put him down.
Just Cassidy, what a wrestler. Yeah. Like this match and last week's match against Wheeler Yuta. He's totally different.
What I love about Orange Cassidy is he doesn't have bad matches.
Mm.
Like, consistently does not have.
Unless it's Jericho.
But even then, I don't think the Jericho ones weren't bad matches. Yeah. They were overly gimmicked, and it was a feud that went, you know, two pay-per-views too long. But they were never bad matches. Mm-hmm. I think he's an incredible talent.
We then got a Mox promo. This was filmed after last week's main event, you know, that bloody match against Evil Uno. And he's in the stairwell, concrete steps, gushing blood down his front onto the steps beneath him. So much blood, the camera even went, oh, look at it all. Maybe it was the cameraman passing out of it. and Mox just cut the promo of the night.
This was so great. Do you know what this felt like? I wrote in my notes, this feels like the Mox and AEW of old.
Mm.
Like when Mox first came into the company, he was just doing this week after week after week. And I was like, there's Mox. Like, that's the Mox that came in here in 2019.
Really good. Great wrestler. He called a hangman a great wrestler. You're even a great man, but I'm an animal. And this is my sort of turf.
Monty Brown, return confirmed.
Now the Elite come out. They get the whole entrance. They do their poses on the ramp. And then the lights cut out. The lights come back up. It's House of Black behind them. The lights cut out. The lights come back up. The Elite are down. And the House of Black are posing with the titles. The lights cut out. The lights come back up. Cut to break. There's no one there.
Yeah.
This, you know what? This is a great angle. For 3 weeks ago.
Yes! That starts the fuse. Absolutely exactly. It's not your ending one.
No.
It's not the one you just tack on a few days before the pay-per-view. This is the one you do. This is what you do ages ago.
This is a tease.
Yeah. Oh, could you imagine?
An aperitif, is that right?
Yeah.
What do you have at the start of it?
An aperitif?
Yes. What's a food version of an aperitif?
An amuse-bouche?
Amuse-bouche! That's what this is. It's an amuse-bouche.
Amuse-bouche, or is that a pre-dessert? Certainly, like a canapé.
A canapé, sure. Whatever it is, it is not meant to be the final go-home angle. Because there's no substance there.
No.
It's a cool visual. There's no story. And I think it really didn't get over right with the crowd. Because the crowd booed it. Not in a all House of Black way. It was a, we're not going to get to see all those cool people.
Well, yeah. Certainly because it looked like they were going to come out for a match. Mm. And then they didn't get the match. So it was like, you know, you've denied the audience getting to see the Elite wrestle.
Ever since the Bucks and Omega came back, you know, of course you've got the Best of Seven, but storyline wise, For an act that had been so great with storylines, with the Hangman Page, the Bullet Club, being the Elite in general, where's the creativity been?
Outside of the
in-ring spots?
I have no idea. It's almost like they're basically on pause at the moment until Page has finished up with Mox. Mm. And then we can get back to Page and the Elite.
Or until they're going back to WWE. Back to WWE.
I was going
to
say back. Oh, I mean, Matt Jackson was on an episode of SmackDown once. So yeah, maybe going back.
Right up next, we had this great match. Face of the Revolution ladder match. Samoa Joe on commentary. It was Takeshita.
I've got the list here.
You do it.
It was Ortiz versus Takeshita versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Commander versus AR Fox versus Eddie Kingston versus Action Andrade versus Sammy Guevara. Now, I've got one whopping complaint with this.
I think it will be the same as mine.
I wouldn't have done that Elite House of Black angle because it's too little too late. And I would have used that time there to give all of them entrances.
Mm.
Because this match just started and I'm like, all right, who's in this match?
Yeah, man? Yeah.
And so I missed like the first few spots they were doing in this just because I was trying to work out, okay, well, who's in this ladder match then? I was like, is that Sammy? Okay, Sammy's in this match. I can see some blue trunks. There's Action Andretti.
Daniel Garcia's in it. Oh, no, wait, no,
he's
Daniel
Garcia's
just interfering.
That's, no, I saw this on Twitter. It is a luchador, like, because I wrote down Phoenix at first because I saw a guy in a white mask, and I was like, well, probably Rey Fénix.
Not Bandido.
I was like, no, I saw this on Twitter. I can't quite remember his name. And then commentary like, Commander. I was like, that's it. Commander's in this match, not in this company. I'd have probably given him an entrance so that people, you know, at home can know who this lad is. That is my only complaints I have this match. It is a bit of a major one, but it is one that I can remove because the match was awesome.
Oh, you see, I had a different major complaint, but also, again, right at the start, and then it was gone. So I just enjoyed the rest of the match a hell of a lot. Eddie Kingston, Ortiz, they hate each other right now. They're feuding. I don't think anyone wants to see that feud, but it's happening. So they just beat the crap out of each other, went up the ramp to the back.
Yep.
It's been a tough time being an Eddie fan. And, you know, like, we are fanboys. He's our favorite wrestler.
I got a lot of criticism on my Parts of Unknown list for having Eddie Kingston as part of my favorite wrestlers of all time list.
Yeah. But if you said that a year ago, people would be like, yeah, totally agree with you. It's ever since the end of that Blood and Guts match, that Jericho feud, he is...
He's fallen off the... Absolutely. Just Tony's had zero interest in Kingston feuds. And if the storyline is now that he has quit AEW and he's going to Ring of Honor, that's taken away my Eddie Kingston because I ain't got time to watch Ring of Honor.
It feels like, you know, back in the day when someone would move to ECW.
You're talking about the WWE ECW version, not the actual...
Late noughties ECW.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where he's like, now Christian's gone there, has he? I'm probably not going to see Christian wrestle then, am I?
Yeah, he's one of the best promo guys in the business.
He is a wrestler that legit makes me feel things. He makes me feel emotions. And him not being on TV, I think, has been a real error. I think him not being in a storyline has been a massive error. And maybe I'm just looking at that from an Eddie Kingston fanboy. But I'm also looking at it, I was like, well, no, he was cutting some of the most compelling promos. That Punk feud, and that is the one I'll always use the example, because it was 2 weeks. And they told an incredible story through basically 2 promo segments, one of which wasn't even a promo segment. It was an interrupting segment, then a promo segment on TV, and then had one of the best matches of the year that only went 8 minutes on the pay-per-view. But it was just, like, all told, 22 minutes of television.
Yeah.
But it was some of the 22 of the most compelling television AEW did all year. That is a guy I'm like, I should probably do a bit more with this Eddie Kingston guy.
They actually made a main eventer.
Yeah.
You know, the Punk match. He main evented with Moxley, didn't he? Yeah,
that was a long time ago.
He main evented
and
with Jericho.
During the pandemic era, we were saying it's one of the first times we've got an AEW world title feud that really feels like there are some stakes in here because Eddie made it feel real, because I don't think pro wrestling isn't real to him. And I think it's a huge missed opportunity to have him on TV more. Yeah, I think you're right. An actual main eventer. And at the start of the Jericho feud, an actual main eventer. But not even taken off the boil. It's been taken outside, left in the cold.
Squandered.
Yeah.
That aside, what a hell of a match. Just insane spots. You had, a load of flyers in there because Commander is magnificent. He did this spot running the length of the top rope and then hit a flip. Usually, I remember when we were at Wrestling Media Con and we saw El Fantasmo do this spot for the first time. And he goes round the ring walking the ropes.
Yeah.
But he's doing it like Taker would, where someone's holding your hand on the ground. My lady partner, who's in circus, was like, that's not impressive. That's super easy to do. What's really hard is tightrope walking at speed. Not with a slack line, but with quite a hard line. And that's what Commander did.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
Then he did a flip at the end.
Yeah, it was wicked. There was a rough old bump in here, though, where Action Andretti did a falcon arrow off the top of the ladder. And it looked like he was meant to do the falcon arrow onto the ladder bridge.
I think, which is impossible.
Yeah, because he just flipped Guevara around and Guevara just went, whoa, and just they collapsed to the mat. Rough old bump that. And I think Guevara might have knocked his head somewhat. Not like knocked himself out, but certainly caught his head on a ladder. Rough bump to take.
And Andretti's leg, the way it got caught up, he immediately rolled out the ring screaming. And I was like, oh my God. No. And then 30 seconds later, he's taken a bump off the ladder.
Well, yeah, because he's running up one ladder, running across another ladder, and running up another ladder. It was insane. Because that's when, is that the Blue Thunderdome, the Blue Thunder Bomb rather, that Takeshita did onto Commander? Crikey.
That was the other top spot, I'd say.
That's it, yeah. Garcia ran down to take out Andretti. They announced that Eddie and Ortiz have had to be separated, but they've been just fighting backstage. Guevara did his big, I'm a bit loopy, I'm crazy, sent on off the ladder. Takeshita stopped Guevara and took out Garcia. And then Hobbs, this is one of my favorite spots, Takeshita's up, he's about to win. Hobbs ran and pounced the ladder. Oh, it was rad. Monty Brown's return confirmed. He just went bosh and popped out of the way. It was so cool. And he climbs the ladder, gets the win in his hometown.
Yeah.
And he gets the title shot in Sacramento next week.
Great idea, great booking. Hobbs was super over with the crowd. Yeah, he felt like a proper star, which is great because, you know, he's not really been around on TV.
But the Book of Hobbs.
last time we really saw him was in the Starks feud and he was shortchanged by that afterwards.
It was the TNT title feud. He was in that three-way with Joe and
Wardlow. Oh, yeah, of course he was. Yeah, that was months ago.
Yeah, that was pay-per-view.
So it was good to, reheat him and the crowd were really receptive. When he ran into that ladder, the ladder bottom contorted and the referees just all of a sudden, four of them leapt out of nowhere to hold that ladder down.
Hey, I'm so glad they were there.
Yeah, because it was not standing straight. No. And I was like, no, Hobbs is probably winning then. I said it was like the Iwo Jima statue, you know, when they're all trying to hold up the flag. But yeah, excellent match.
Yeah, really good.
Very good stuff. Afterwards, Powerhouse Hobbs sort of challenged Samoa Joe, who's on commentary. Joe stood up, got tangled up in some wires. At least it wasn't a poncho. Wardlow comes out too, and Wardlow beat up a security guard member.
Yeah, I really hope Joe retains the pay-per-view. I don't think he's going to, but I hope he retains.
Cassidy and Danhausen backstage. That's when they decide they'll replace Best Friends in the Battle Royal. Chris Jericho squashed Peter Avalon, although Avalon got 2 minutes of complete offense.
This is what I wanted out of the Asuka Carmella match on Raw, which wound me up no end because Carmella just dominated for 95% of the match and then Asuka just won at the end. Because commentary, they're like, Carmella's dominating this match. Like, Carmella's firmly in control. Goes through a commercial break. Carmella firmly in control here. Now, this is how you do it. Peter Avalon was on offense for about 95% of this match, but Jericho was never in any spot to lose. Like, he was never in any actual trouble from Avalon's offense, and it just took one code breaker, not even his actual finishing move, to put Avalon away. That's a perfect way to do it.
Really smart, because Jericho, it's a tactics thing. This guy is very emotionally hot. Okay, I'm going to weather it, rope-a-dope, wait for an opening, boom, one move.
Yeah.
Avalon looks actually really good coming out of this. I think AEW's shown over the last 2 weeks with Avalon here and Evil Uno last week, they've got some really good wrestlers in their undercard slots. But Starks comes down to make the save because Jericho is going to hit Avalon with the bat. Jericho has quite a cute line here. JS are going to be banned from ringside at Revolution, but they're not banned tonight.
Nope.
Garcia and Hager enter. They all beat up Starks. Hangman gets a promo. He said he's got nothing left to lose.
Well, this is the last thing he has to lose. I thought it was a really nice way to do the I've got nothing left to lose, because this is actually something. You know, if you've got nothing left to lose, you're at the end of it. But like, no, I need to hold on to this one thing. You've taken away my memory. You've taken away, like, I've lost my friends. I've got this and this alone. And I was like, oh, he is desperate to win on Sunday. That and the Mox promo, I think it is my most anticipated stuff. And then Danielson's promo later, maybe like, oh, no, maybe that's my most anticipated match.
Christian comes out with Rene Paquette in the ring, and it's back. The turtleneck. How I've missed it. The turtleneck of offense.
The turtleneck promo.
Because, you know, he's been back for 2 weeks, but he hasn't actually really got to do anything Christian.
Yeah.
This was Christian's full return. I have missed him.
Me too. There was a line in this promo that I absolutely adored.
Which one?
So he's there talking about how he hates Jungle Boy's generation. And the reason why he hates Jungle Boy's generation is because you treat this business, my business, like it's a video game. He's this old curmudgeon-y wrestlers, like, no, you're killing the business. This is a business that you take seriously. My business. Do you know how I treat my business? Like an ATM machine, and I'm going to run it dry. Because he doesn't care either. It's just, it's a different philosophy. Oh, it was such a great twist on the narrative. I loved it so much.
Yeah, Stan, a great Christian promo. He's getting mega heat, you know, like just every couple of lines. Oh, and by the way, this place sucks. But he does it so well, so much heat. And then he said, Jungle Boy, you truly are your father's son, a no-talent hack who got by with his good looks and no grit. I'm going to beat you on Sunday. So the match is made. Lights cut out again. No House of Black this time. It cuts to Jack Perry on the screen. It's like a pre-taped vignette. Bit melodramatic for my taste.
A little bit, yeah. He's been hanging out with Darby Allin.
Yeah. He's digging a grave. He has one Sinead O'Connor tear, and then the gravestone is revealed to read Christian's name.
Yeah.
I imagine it was sort of, you're meant to be like, oh, you know, like he buried his own father, didn't he? Like, but then, I don't know, it didn't feel, it felt staged.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Hayley cut a promo on Revolution. Britt Baker, 100% sort of baby face, I guess, with Hayley here. Hayley will beat two bitches. That's her line. Hook took on Matt Hardy. I really like this match.
Yeah, me too. I don't think it needs to be on this show when you've got so much other stuff on it, but very fun nonetheless.
Did you think Jeff Hardy was returning?
This has happened twice now. Yeah, yeah. Where they played that music, I'm like, the Hardy boys are back. No, it's just Matt doing some terrible firm stuff instead.
I mean, it is before the before a paper. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the best. This was probably the most challenged Hook has looked, which I really enjoyed.
Me too.
Haven't got to see Hook sell before. I was impressed.
I thought it was so much fun. I actually really, really liked. There was a moment when Stokely Hathaway took off the cast and he hit Hook with it. It was a really, really good near fall. Genuinely really great near fall. I thought it was a lot of fun. And then eventually Matt Hardy went for the Twist of Fate. Hook reversed that into the Red Rum. And Matt Hardy immediately tapped out because I think there were stakes to this match.
Yeah, Hook would get a match against Stokely Hathaway without any of the firm.
That's right. Mm. Which is why Hardy immediately tapped out, because Matt wants that match for Hook as well.
Yeah, because Matt was shown smiling afterwards and Hathaway was rocking back and forth. I'm into Hook. That's about it. House of Black had a promo. They're now holding the trio's titles and they lay them down. We will have a match. Yeah. So much story.
So I think now the story is the Elite have got to try and find the room where they film their promos, but just try and get their belts back.
Just turn on lights. Guys, what are you doing? It's a broom closet. Yeah, but
it's in here. No, it's not this room either. I've already checked this one.
That should be a Being the Elite sketch. Tony Storm then took on Rio. I just like seeing Rio.
My first note of missing seeing Riho wrestle.
I looked 5 matches on TV since the start of 2022.
Wow, Christmas Day. That's upsetting.
Your inaugural women's champion, who is still always over, who still puts on great matches. what the hell? I don't understand. And I was just like, oh, Toni Storm's involved in this. She's just going to beat Rio. So thankfully, Britt Baker distracted Toni, allowed Rio to get the win.
Well, I'd actually argue that Toni Storm distracted herself. Mm-hmm, she didn't need to be distracted by Baker, but she distracted herself with it and allowed Riho to roll her up for the win. I thought Riho looked really great in this. Actually, I'm going to show you that. Unfortunately, I can't put it up on the screen. I should have thought about this ahead of time. But obviously, I get sent all of the press images to use for a thumbnail image. Look at this picture of Toni Storm doing the hip attack on Riho.
Jesus. Some things you just got to take, haven't you?
Yeah.
That is all the ass in your face.
Bix put up a post recently, like it was a gif of her doing that hip attack move, because you get some wicked whiplash off of that. And he was like, wrestlers, can you message me and let me know how you take this move? Because it just looks like you just get hit by it. There's no safe way to take this move.
Well, I've told this before. I asked a wrestler, I can't remember who it was now, Dave Mastiff. It's called the Bastard.
He certainly was.
He's a big, big guy, and he would, on the British indie scene, run at you full pelt when you're down in the corner and do a cannonball. You know, like Kevin Owens' cannonball. Loved it. I just sat around all progressed, waiting for this move to be hit. And I said to someone, how do you take that move? And they just looked at me and said, some things you just take. You just brace and you take his weight.
It's like a waltzer chop.
Yeah.
Some moves you just take. There's not a safe way to take a waltzer chop.
It's going to suck. It's going to hurt for a few days, but ultimately you'll be fine.
Yeah.
So afterwards, Rio won. There was a sort of brawl between Baker and Toni Storm, which led to a Jamie Hayter Saraya brawl, and then out came Ruby Soho, pull-apart brawl. Quite effective.
I thought it was really effective because she knocked down Saraya, and then Hayter was like, hey! And then Ruby knocked her down as well because she is her own. She is Destination Unknown within this storyline. I have enjoyed this story.
Keith Lee and Dustin Rhodes cut a promo. Naturally Limitless.
They've given themselves they're not on tag team now, are they? I know they've given themselves a name, but I don't want Keith Lee to go into another tag team.
How else are you going to book him? He's just got to be in tag acts.
I've tried nothing and I'm all out of ideas.
So that's on Rampage, isn't it?
Yes. Match? Yeah, yeah. So it's not on the pay-per-view. They only added one other match.
Yeah. Casino for now. Casino Tag Team Battle Royal came next. And then the final match. I kind of thought we were ending on the Battle Royal. I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Danielson MJF. They had a really good video package. With
great.
Like, you know, even Dean Malenko got an appearance, which is I always appreciate.
Me too.
And they're talking back and forth about each guy's chances, interspersed with video footage of Danielson doing a hike and MJF like training in the gym, really getting over their conflicting personas. And then you get Brian and Renee in the ring.
I think I say in the yard.
Renee Young. That's what my mind goes. It's like, don't say Renee Young. Don't say Renee Young. In the Young.
Yep.
talking smack reunion there. And Danielson starts to cut a promo. MJF interrupts, but this time Danielson's like, no, you listen to me. And he says that if there's one thing MJF does deserve, it's your fiance leaving you. Killer line. And the crowd went, ooh, like that. But Max talked about nearly killing himself last week.
Yeah.
That feels a bit heelish. But Danielson was right on it and said, you've been talking about banging rats ever since you got the title. I wouldn't want my daughter to marry you.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're right. Max is the bad guy.
He is the heel, everyone. He's the heel. Good reminder. Thanks, Daniel. Good job you're here.
I thought that was a really important point, though, because you do feel a lot of sympathy for Max because he's such a good talker and that promo he cut last week. But Danielson immediately points out, no, that's your fault.
It's the brilliance of him as a heel is he genuinely has a hero's backstory. That he has become a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. What a brilliant character.
And Danielson said, you don't fight for things, Max. You cheat for things. And if you don't fight on Sunday... and if you don't fight on Sunday, you'll get your effing head kicked in.
Yeah. And he built to that as well. It was like, if you don't fight, let the crowd sort of simmer a bit. You're going to get your effing head kicked in. And the crowd went, GOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOO
We get the fight feed, so we had it completely uncensored.
Yeah,
I heard everywhere else it was censored.
Yeah, I went to find like a USA feed of it to see what it was like. It was butchered to all get out. They kind of like put in, they put over a crowd noise over it, but it felt like the crowd noise had been reversed. So it was all like a
"Whoa?" Yeah. It's more like a bleep is better, I think, in some regards.
Oh, man, it was great. Putting on the fight feed, I was like, okay, all right, cool.
He went there. he's wanted to say that forever, though. Remember when he was coming in, he was like, I just want people to chant, you're going to get your effing head kicked in.
And it was just, and the crowd were like, I'm never going to do this.
Yeah, because like that's a very British chant that was only in the British shows at Ring of Honor, right? Yeah. They didn't really follow him.
When they do come over here, oh, you better believe. Oh. Like we're sitting there waiting.
We'll swear.
Oh, yeah. And we'll also find a way to get any other wrestler into various other songs. Gold, we'll find a way to find a wrestler. But who are we going to put into Gold?
Me, Luke, and Laurie were in the car on Tuesday, and Rich, the editor who was driving, put on na 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 na, and we're all sitting there like, what is this? What are the lyrics to this song? Tyler Bate. Na 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 na.
Tony Storm. I'm just going through this now. I can find them.
Yeah.
Ricky Starks. There's loads of them.
So the only sort of feedback I'd give this, Ben cuts to Max. And Max, as soon as he hears effing head kicked in, he looks really scared. And that is a decision. I think if I was making the decision, I would have him angry. Mm. You know, really build this. These are just two people who hate each other. Max is totally convinced himself he's in the right. As soon as you see that doubt creep in, and I get the sort of artistic choice to do the doubt, but I don't think it's the best choice.
I'd agree with you on that.
Overall, I gave this 76%, I think, overall.
Yeah. I just said this was a 3 out of 5 episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we get on to chats?
Well, we shan't do, yeah. If our mod mother can hear us, can we have the poll up, please? Thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down. We'll have that before the end of the show.
Right, and yeah, but...
That's what I like about this show. We have three different ways of scoring things, because we have your percentage, me doing it out of 5, thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down for the live chats.
Consistency. We've got no Patreon shout-outs for today, so straight into the Omega chats. WrestleTalk.com/support. That's your last call. Danny G, Memberg for 18 months. Keith Lee and Dax Harwood are very different people. Luke Owens, hot takes.
Look, I'm not afraid to say it. I'm that person.
This one hasn't been recorded, I'm afraid, but they say, I don't get why people are mad at Dax. He's being honest and clear that he's telling his side. Sorry it exposes Tony, but fans should welcome that.
I'm just going to underline the word honest. And I'm not saying he's lying either. He's working. There's a difference.
Keplin2144, I have to side with Ollie on this debate. Saying you quit and talking crap about the company you're working for kills some of my aspiration to watch the product. If that's their intention, it has the reverse effect of me making me interested. It makes me tune out. Well,
I mean, I can't deny that is a take on the product. And I also don't think that it's wrong, because I'd imagine if you're watching this and every segment is just like, the company sucks. The very first TNA show is people walking out being like, this main event makes no sense and this match is stupid. And watching it, I was like, why would you open your show openly saying this match is stupid? Like all of your wrestlers behind, this match is dumb. Why are we doing this? So I get it.
Danny G. Hi, lads. AEW definitely missing something for me at the moment. Decent enough episode, but there's just nothing special. Really hope FDR is a work. Did enjoy Taz corpsing at Danielson being stiff, though. Send for the man. I'm still 10, really. Jay Spaulding. Happy Jay here. Did anyone else notice on Jericho's name bar, it said one of two people to hold both the ROH and AEW World Championships? a reference to punk.
That's true.
Jam that jam.
He is the other guy.
It's coming back. I'm just Marcus. I know that it probably wasn't on purpose, but Hobbs being so strong, he warped the ladder, make him look like a terrifying force, and I loved it. Also, I'm afraid Starks and Jericho won't end at the pay-per-view, even though it really needs to.
I think it will end at the pay-per-view.
It's got to end.
Yeah.
Another person who didn't have their name recorded, very sorry there. With a 60-minute main and a 7-match undercard, could this be the time Tony has to learn the lesson about having shows be too long? I have a feeling the crowd could die out before we even get to the main event, or could die during it.
Was it the prediction show we were talking about, where we think the crowd reaction to it might be? Mm. It'd be like, it'll be hot for the first 10 minutes or so, and then it's really going to cool off. Depending on what they do, of course, and then it will really pick up in the final 10.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge for the fans. It's a challenge for the wrestlers.
It's a challenge any time a wrestling promoter puts on an hour-long match. Because, you know, I mean, it's funny that we're sort of looking at this being like, oh, an hour-long match with a 7-match undercard. Pretty sure that's what Judgment Day 2000 was. You know, but no point in being like, that's too many matches, undercard matches before your main event. It'll be, and I've been to indie shows that have had an hour-long main event with a 7-match undercard.
With an interval.
But that's the thing, is there is a way to pace those out and to have intervals. So I'm very curious to see how this happens, because there's been no matches announced for the buy-in either. Hmm. So is it a case of some of the matches that are on this card are actually just on the buy-in?
Please. Martial Arts. Did you see that insane spot by Commander? Well, you could see it next week if you come to WXW 16 Karat Gold. Well done, you got me there, Marcel Arts. I didn't see where that was going for once. Chill Gaming Inc. Like going in Raw confirmed. I think that's Luke going in Raw confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you keep saying contract tampering. I haven't said those words.
It's the bidding Luke of 2024. Dr. Hook Nolan Evans says, the doctor is in. Hi, lads. I'm off work for 2 weeks because I just had a hernia removed.
Thank you.
Doing well and doing even better now. That's good to hear. Then I get to watch you guys live for the first time in a while. I'm hyped for the show. Love you all. Jam that jam.
That's,
jam that jam, Dr.
Jam, absolute jam that jam to you. Question for you. Excitement levels for Revolution? Where are you currently at?
I was thinking about this. Can I have the excitement level? Last year, Revolution was the same day that I saw the Batman in IMAX. Mm-hmm. It was the best day of my life.
Yeah. Punk
joint with the time that I saw NXT TakeOver London and Star Wars The Force Awakens on the same day.
Yeah. Oh, that's lower. That's much lower than I thought.
I'm just, you know, when I look at the card, I'm only really super into two matches. And I'm just dreading how long it's going to be. Like, because, you know, maybe if we were watching this socially and I was going around to your house, that would be different. But the fact of the matter is, we've got to wake up super early on a Monday morning and watch what will probably be a 5.5-hour card and turn that all around and talk about it. And compare that to Elimination Chamber. Honestly, I was so excited for Elimination Chamber, but couldn't wait to see what happened.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, what's going to happen in any of these angles? I'm like, that will be a good match.
Yes. That's kind of where I'm at as well. I am still excited for the show. So if yours is there, I think I'm probably more here.
And top is here?
Top is here, so
you're 50%?
I'm about 50%, yeah.
Because I'd say 40.
Because I think I am not... It's not two matches. I think it's probably more than half the card I'm really excited for. Despite my quibbles, I actually really cannot wait to watch the Elite versus House of Black because I know that is going to be an excellent professional wrestling match. For all of my quibbles about the tag team booking, that is going to be an excellent professional wrestling match. So even the two matches where I'm like, these storylines have been no good, in-ring action is going to be very, very good. And even a storyline that I'm not that into, which is the women's three-way, I think it might, the match, it's three... Decent wrestling. I think they'll have a really good match. Particularly, like, I think Hayter and Soho are going to be great together. I think Mox and Hangman, I cannot wait for. Danielson and MJF is the one I'm curious. I've loved the story and I've loved the emotion of the story. I now, and maybe it's just because of the job that we have, I'm actually just more interested of like, what's the crowd reaction going to be? How are they pacing this match? And I'm going to be looking at it from that aspect of it rather than just watching it as a wrestling match.
Kevin, I just wanted to say that today is the third anniversary of the reveal of Eric Rowan's Big Pet Spider. Happy anniversary.
Is it really?
What a day.
Drew McIntyre killed. Remember, we had people, Charles Trenton, be like, I cannot cheer Drew McIntyre as a babyface now. He killed someone's pet.
It was a crap gimmick, though. I think that was fun. And finally, new member, Steve Fight.
Thank you very much
for joining.
To end this poll.
What is this poll?
Let's see. Can I end this poll? I'm going to close this poll now so we can get a result. This is why I have my laptop with me. I can't find the result of the poll. Can I find the result of the poll here? I can. End the poll. End the poll. I've got a result. The result is... I can read it from here.
52% thumbs up. 40% thumbs in the middle. 7% down.
So it's a mid show, isn't it?
Well, not really. That's 52% thumbs up. That's over half of the people voted thumbs up, mm-hmm. and the other half voted it thumbs in the middle. So yeah, it's like
75%.
75%.
Which is exactly what I said. 76. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for joining us here today. Go over to wrestletalk.com/WrestleLeague. The link's in the video description below. I've probably got the URL wrong, but it's right down there. And then you can partake in predictions at Revolution against us and against 3,000 other members of your wonderful SWAF nation. Also go over and watch our Revolution predictions that went up yesterday on this very channel.
Linked in the video description down below.
And also go over to WrestleTalk to check out Pete's new video, What's Wrong With Hell in a Cell 2019? Answer so much. I'm Ollie Davis. This has been Luke Owen, DAD. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.